coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and Pam. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. And Dave Perlman.
You beat me to it.
Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by Dubloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DubloyElectric.com. Also brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At four locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at Rupert'sBeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by the founder and creative director at Horizon Visual Media, Dave Perlman. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We and he so makes a difference. We just don't know what it is yet.
Right. We're still trying to figure that out. We're not sure if some of it is safe for podcasting.
Wow. My mom always told me that I was special, so.
All right.
Aww. He's an only child, too, so. Oh.
So are you still working on the Among Us spot? Or is that complete?
That is complete.
All right. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more with Dave coming up here in just a bit. Before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Tuesday, October the 7th.
The Sun Journal reports that nearly three dozen people attended yesterday's listening session at Gather to Grow in Lewiston as the city searches for its next chief of police. According to City Administrator Brian Kainrath, the city is preparing to do deep dives on candidates who have come forward from inside and outside the department.
Maine State Auditor and former Secretary of State Matthew Dunlap launched his campaign to challenge Jared Golden for Maine's 2nd District seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. The 60-year-old Old Town resident said he was compelled to run because people in the district are upset with Golden's history of voting with Republicans and his lack of public appearances.
In-person and absentee voting are now available for the November 4th election. There are two statewide ballot questions, local issues, and municipal elections. As of Friday, over 22,000 Mainers have already requested absentee ballots.
And one of Lewiston's oldest law firms, Skelton, Tainter & Abbott, has purchased the building at 491 Lisbon Street. The $1.2 million deal includes 18,000 square feet of Class A office space, which will become the firm's headquarters after renovation work is complete.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
A sharp cut to the weather. A mixture of sun and clouds today with a high of 79 and a low of 53. Morning showers give way to cloudy skies tomorrow afternoon. High 66 and a low of 47. Sunny on Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Brr.
Here it comes.
Yep.
Yeah, we're done.
We saw a low of 29 on Friday. I was
what?
Like, Kevin, if you put the window fan in, we're going to have problems.
I should probably take the AC out. And sports. The Boston Bruins announced they will retire Zdeno Chara's number 33 on January 15th. Chara played from 2006 to 2020 with the Black and Gold, serving as team captain for all 14 seasons, including a Stanley Cup championship in 2011. The Bruins open their season tomorrow night on the road against the Washington Capitals.
And Central Maine Community College men's soccer beat Southern Maine Community College 3-0. CM women's soccer played to a 1-1 tie. CM baseball and softball will host doubleheaders tonight against UMaine Augusta. First pitches are scheduled for 6 and 7:30. That's your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is
Sweeping!
The Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
Famous people birthdays, it's famous people birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for October the 7th, shall we?
Okay.
All right. We're going to start off with Simon Cowell.
I think I remember us announcing his birthday last year.
Oh,
Oh, he has one every year?
Yeah.
Weird.
I think so.
That is weird.
Simon is 66 years old today. You know him as the mean judge from American Idol. Cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
Yo-Yo Ma.
Is 70 years old today. He was a child prodigy. Began to study the cello with his father at the age of 4.
Crazy.
And now he's a legend.
He's a legend.
Not as much of a legend as drummer Tico Torres of Bon Jovi, who is 72 years old today. One of the greatest names in all of music.
I mean, I liked Yo-Yo Ma.
Yo-Yo Ma's cool, but Tico Torres?
Tico Torres.
Oh, man. Tico was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Bon Jovi in 2018. And rounding out FPBs for October the 7th is Johnny Cougar. John Cougar, John Cougar Mellencamp, and John Mellencamp, who is
all the same person,
74 years old today.
Wow. You know him from Jack and Diane.
Little Diddy. About Jack and Diane.
FPBs are musically heavy today.
Right?
Yeah.
Dave, have you ever directed and shot a music video?
Ooh.
I actually have.
Ooh, what's up? Do tell.
There's not much to tell.
All right.
Your own music video?
No, it wasn't. I actually did it for a band in Nashville, but it was a band about as cool as any band that I've ever been in Nashville. So.
Are you in a band?
No.
Oh.
Dave doesn't band anymore.
I retired. Oh.
Remember you and Dave were going to do a duet?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you were asking me?
No. I forgot you were a musician. You totally did.
John has so many hits. Hurt So Good, Crumbling Down, Pink Houses, Lonely All Night, R.O.C.K. in the USA.
Wow.
He was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2018 and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2008. And he's also one of the founding members of Farm Aid.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
yeah, cool. It began in 1985 with a concert in Illinois to raise awareness about the loss of family farms and to raise funds to keep farm families on their land.
Cool.
And if you've ever paid attention to the lyrics of Rain on the Scarecrow.
Oh, that's
yeah.
A good one, huh?
That is a good one.
I like Check It Out.
Yeah, Check It Out's good.
Speaking of, Check It Out is what I tell everybody that I meet about this podcast.
Stop it, Dave. You're such a liar. All right. Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
That's right, Dave.
You're not the only musician, Dave.
And Dave, Mark's this here. Is the first time you've heard that. You definitely don't listen to the show.
I read the transcript.
17 years ago in 2008, Spotify officially launched as a streaming platform. I know, crazy, right?
Does everyone here listen to Spotify, or do you have like another service? Or do you have like CDs and cassette tapes over to the house?
Mark raises his hand.
I know, I'm a Spotify guy. I got the family plan.
Apple
Music.
We have the family plan.
I go back
and
forth. I use Apple Music. And, no, I'm sorry, Amazon Music, actually.
Oh, never bothered that one.
I'm a YouTube person.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Sarah, Apple Music, after what they did to you.
I know.
With YouTube.
I should switch to Spotify. You're right,
goodness,
Mark.
I'm
going to do that today.
Okay.
She won't.
I won't.
I know.
Other things. 22 years ago in 2003, Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor of California in a special recall election to remove Democratic Governor Gray Davis from office. Arnold won by a landslide and took office on November 17th. Wasn't he in a movie called Total Recall?
He was.
That's funny.
That says special recall.
Yeah. 30 years ago in 19...
Pam's a stickler for the facts.
Yes. 30 years ago in 1995, Ted Danson married Mary Steenburgen, and today is their 30th wedding anniversary.
Oh,
how about that?
That's
like 100 years in celebrity weddings.
Wasn't there a thing with Ted Danson and Whoopi Goldberg?
What?
Back in the day?
He did a blackface thing that was inappropriate with Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, yes. I thought they were romantically involved.
I don't know.
All right.
40 years ago in 1985, Lynette Woodward became the first woman to play for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh. Sweet Georgia Brown.
40 years.
43 years ago in 1982, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cats opened on Broadway.
You guys are not as excited about it as
I've never seen cats.
Me neither. I've never seen cats.
Didn't they make a movie out of cats
it was the worst movie ever? It's not worth...
Was Taylor Swift in it?
She was.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She was?
Yeah. Taylor Swift was in it, yeah.
I'll tell you what, that movie was so bad. There's no way it could have been a Dave Perlman production.
No, it was definitely not.
I'll tell you that right now. Everyone should know that.
And finally, 50.
Taylor Swift was in Cats. That is crazy. Is that like before she became Taylor Swift?
No.
Or was she Katy Perry
like
back
mid
then?
Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Yeah. 57 years ago in 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America adopted its film rating system ranging from G for general audiences to X for adult patrons only.
Dave, have you ever filmed an X-rated movie?
It's one of the things that I aspire to do one day.
I know a couple you can contact.
Oh, no.
Their names are Sarah and Nick.
No!
Those are your FPBs and OTDs for October the 7th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. Tell your kids to never accept rides from strangers, even if they say your parents sent them. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
Now, we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, founder and creative director at Horizon Visual Media, Dave Perlman. You are a legend in the visual medium. Right? Are you not?
Have I? Like, I like to think so.
I'm a legend in my own mind, at least.
All right. So, Dave, you recently wrapped up production on...
It's
a commercial for the latest collaboration between Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and Baxter Brewing called Among Us, which we have sampled on this show. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Right, Sarah, you love Among Us.
Yes. Sampling it here was very different from sampling it on my back deck and having a full can because that was... It was good.
It was something, right? So for folks who didn't listen to that episode and may not be familiar with Among Us, unlike most THC beverages that are 5 milligrams, Among Us is 10 milligrams, and the artwork on the can glows in the dark. So they went all out for this one.
Yeah.
And then they contacted you, and they said, Dave, we need a commercial for this that is going to match the feel of this product. And I think you nailed it. We should mention, too, that Pam and Kevin were in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. He called me up that day.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing from 7 to 9? And I was like, hopefully sitting on my couch doing nothing.
So in my defense, Jesse texted me that day and said, hey, so all of my friends that were supposed to go and be in this thing can't do it. Like 3 hours before we were supposed to start filming, so.
We were happy to oblige. We went and hung out with Stephanie and Jesse and friends, and I got to see Dave in his element.
Sit around a campfire?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't really a fire.
A fake campfire.
It was a fake fire. But.
Yeah. Oh, my mind is blown. I thought all of that was real.
I can't believe everything you see on the internet.
The alien's not real either. That's what you're going to tell me next.
Tell us about the concept of this whole thing and how it all came together.
Oh, how long do you have?
I got all day. You kidding me?
So when Rupert's approached us, obviously the artwork on the can obviously was a big motivating piece for the concept here. And anybody who knows Jesse knows that he's all about aliens. So we really wanted to try to incorporate that theme as best as we could, while also kind of maintaining that, the outdoorsy, traditional Maine sort of vibe that, that you have a lot of Baxter artwork. And we kind of landed on this whole idea of friends sitting around a campfire outdoors by the lake and sampling one of these Among Us drinks and just watching the chaos ensue from our main subject's perspective, who happened to be Jesse. Yeah. It was a lot to do in a short period of time because we only had about 4 and a half hours to do this whole thing. and it was two different locations. Wow. And there was a lot of moving parts. Pam can attest to this. Our extras were getting pretty antsy.
Were you, Pam?
I can attest to that because I was one of those extras getting antsy.
Now, what is Pam like when she's antsy?
Yeah.
Can we leave now?
Yeah, pretty much.
You've seen it, Mark. Are we done yet?
I want to hear another perspective.
I don't feel comfortable.
Okay. Just for our listeners, Dave is within striking distance. So that's probably why.
So we had these two locations to get to, and if Sarah, you saw some of the behind the scenes there, mm-hmm. there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of production going on for kind of like a small commercial like this. So we had to move really quickly. Actually, funny story. It wasn't funny at the time, but we almost destroyed one of their entire walls of coolers when we were setting this up in their location on Minot Ave.
Oh, no.
Because we had this idea where the alien's going to step out of the cooler. And I had this vision of, like, a foot stepping out with all of this, like, fog coming out right on the floor. We had to make space in the cooler. So we're taking down the shelves, and we had to move the product and everything. And we get, like, 80% of the way done taking out these shelves. And we remove, like, the second to last one. And then all of them just start collapsing in. one of the guys on my crew like reached in and just like grabbed it like the Hulk. He's like holding it back like this. That it could have been really bad. We smashed up a couple small cases, like, you know, four packs of whatever.
Yeah.
But that could have been really bad. And so crisis averted, and we had to pivot a little bit. But
no video footage of that incident.
No, unfortunately okay. not.
Right. They weren't rolling.
Yeah, all of the good stuff that happens, we never like all of that stuff. We never get it on video.
Yeah,
it's like when Mark doesn't hit record,
which hasn't happened in 27 days, by the way.
Yeah. I was at a job site a couple days ago. There was a shoot on a cement truck. One of the guys I was working with was filming. I turn to look, and I just see the chute swing out because it wasn't latched. Just swing out, and he ducks at the last minute.
Oh,
it would have cleaned him and his camera out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So there are real-life hazards in your line of work.
Oh, yeah.
Even when you're sitting around a campfire or going to Rupert's. Sure. Yeah.
I'm just happy for my insurance company.
Yeah. That's great.
Thank you, John Blanchett.
Mm-hmm. Little piece of shameless plug. That's basically the concept there. I was actually on the more technical side of things. I was pretty happy with how the alien came out because we just went with like a basic costume from the Halloween store, mm-hmm. and with a little bit of work in post, we were able to make it look fairly convincing. The weirdest thing about it, though, and I think Sarah can support me on this, is that we have this kind of like silly concept. That alien part is a little unsettling.
I don't like it. You're not wrong.
We have a soundbite that says that.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's
it's a bit much for me.
It's but you know what? I think that it kind of highlights that paranoia that some people like me feel whenever I even look at a THC product. You know? Are we allowed to talk about this?
Of course.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I have had one THC drink ever. I drank half of a 10 milligram drink. I split it with somebody. And it was at a summer party. And I'm sitting there. I had a bunch of friends who were just like, you know, I don't even drink beer anymore. Like, this is just it. No hangover. You just like, it just like elevates you a little bit and like just kind of brings down the noise. And it just like, you know, really sold me on it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, none of that stuff that like typically happens with marijuana, like, you know, none of that stuff happens. Like, okay, whatever. I'll give it a try. So I'm sitting at this party for, you know, like an hour and a half after drinking this. It says it's supposed to work in 30 minutes. And I'm like, this is doing nothing at all. So it's like getting ready to go. I'm like, just like, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. So get up. And I go to say bye to everybody. And I'm like, oh, wow. I don't know how to say bye. And everybody in this room is watching me right now. I'm an idiot, and they are all looking at what an idiot I am right now. And then I start laughing uncontrollably because I'm like, "This is it, isn't it? This is it working."
You captured that perfectly in the video. Like, you really see that happening to Jesse in the commercial too. It's really good, and that was my experience as well.
Yeah,
with Among Us.
Well, there you go, folks. I mean, if you want to know what it's like,
a 4-pack.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
It is.
Don't make any plans.
I got the munchies.
Yes.
And I don't get the munchies with any other edible or drink. So I don't know what that means, but I wanted snacks.
I told you about the peanut butter pretzels.
Which I don't know how you eat that.
The like little square bites.
Yeah.
Those are dangerous.
So I had an Among Us and I was sitting in on my couch with one of those plastic containers full of those peanut butter nugget pretzel things.
And how big are those containers?
I mean, pretty big.
It's a bin.
It's like a gallon jug size bin. Just eating them, and finally looked at my partner. I was like, "Can you please take them away from me?" And he was like, "Yeah, I got you." So he takes them away, and he's like, "Can I have the cover?" And I was like, "I don't know where it is. It's sitting on my chest. The cover is sitting on my chest." And he was like, "It's right there." I was like, "Oh, that was so it is." I'm like, this is how I'm going to be the rest of the day.
I mean, for me,
that was good.
It's something I do just before I go to bed.
Yeah.
It will eat pretzels?
Help you. No. Yeah, that too, but it does help you sleep.
No, THC drinks or gummies.
I'm scared to do any of it.
Yeah, he's like, never again.
Among Us is...
I didn't know how to speak English. Yeah. He's like, I'm not doing that again.
Pam, how long were you there on the shoot?
A little over 2 hours.
So a couple hours there, and then you went to Rupert's.
Right. I did not go to the second location.
Yeah, you didn't go to Rupert's.
Yeah. None of the extras went to Rupert's. It was just crew and then Jesse.
And then Jesse.
Yeah.
So we're talking, what, maybe 4 hours?
For the crew, it was probably like 7 hours. But actual filming time, filming, set up and tearing down time is probably like five and a half, something like that.
And I think people should know that because when they see the finished product, it's what, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And they're like, oh, this must have taken like a half hour to shoot. There's so much that goes into it.
There is. And I mean, if you really, you know, not to dive too much into this rabbit hole, but like if you really want to do, if you want to do justice to the craft, I mean, this is the reason that a Hollywood movie takes, you know, a year to film, you know, as opposed to... You can shoot an hour and a half movie in an hour and a half if you just press record, you know?
Those are the movies I watch.
Mark loves those.
You work with a lot of members of our community, a lot of business owners. They're not professional actors.
Right.
Part of your job is getting those people who are not professional actors to feel comfortable in front of the camera, which is a tall order, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Keeping in mind that most of the projects that we do are, one, they're more like clinical style, more corporate. So the dialogue, it's less of a rehearsed practice thing because what I've found is that people who are not actors tend to do better when they're prompted with questions, probably much in the way that, like, same thing that we're doing right here.
Yeah.
You're asking me questions and I'm having an easier time answering them than... if you just told me to memorize something and say it. So there are two things that I do with the people that I work with. One of the things is always set up these sort of like interview structure as opposed to, hey, say this. I want to get them to say that, but I'm going to do it through a line of questions. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I like to do too is rather than have people address the camera directly, not always the case, but from I don't know, probably like 85% of the time, I'm having people address me, and it's sort of that offset interview look that you see in a lot of like documentaries where they're looking across frame rather than directly to the camera. That helps people feel like they're having a real conversation with somebody and sort of takes them out of that space where like, hey, look, there's production all over the place and I'm talking to a camera and it's unnatural. Really what I'm trying to do in these situations is get people to use their own authentic language to say the things that I'm trying to get them to say without telling them that. That tends to be the trick that works even for people who are pretty uncomfortable in that setting.
Pam, what was the experience like for you?
It was interesting to watch them work because I'm always interested to see like how things kind of operate in that manner and then see the finished product. And it was funny because Dave had called me or we were on the phone the day before they released the video and he was like, oh, I wish we had more time. I wish this and I wish that. And then I saw it and I was like, what was he worried about? This came out amazing. I was even a little worried because I'm like, that was chaos while we were there.
Was it controlled chaos?
Yeah, I mean
did he have a handle on it the
whole
time?
Because I think they knew what they wanted, but we were all sitting around the fire, like literally talking. We just started chatting and they weren't telling us to stop except when Jesse had to do something and we had to do something specific. But otherwise, we were just literally chatting around the fire pit. We had to do nothing.
Dave did all the work. And that's what you're saying.
Just watching them kind of like talk about what they needed and, you know, the glow under the ice and the fog and the smoke and just things like that. It was the whole time I was just curious on what it was going to look like at the end.
That's another a cool thing about this one and something that we don't often get to do because, like I said, a lot of our projects are more of that like clinical style, you know, that corporate look. There was a lot of practical lighting effects that we did in this. So, you know, as an example, the fake fire. So it looks like they're sitting around a fire pit with a fire in it. There's no fire.
It was lights.
Yeah.
I was worried because they had this whole light screen behind us, too. And I'm like, that screen is going to get burned with the campfire we're about to have. And
it really did look real. Like, you fooled me.
Yeah. And then obviously, like, when he opens up the cooler and you can see, like, this green light emanating from inside and all this, like, fog on top. Mm. All practical effects. Mm-hmm. The kind of like abduction sequence, practical lighting we used for that with a little bit of VFX in post. But it's hard to, you know, without a big budget, it's really hard to make VFX look convincing. It can go from looking pretty, you know.
Cheesy.
Yeah, it looks cheesy. It looks tacky. Practical effects are just fun anyway. It's that's how it was done for years and years and years. And even the best VFX now are often done with some practical effects too, and it really sells it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's fun doing projects like that where you can flex some of those creative muscles in terms of production.
Yeah.
And I wasn't saying it looked cheesy. I was saying there's that potential for it to look cheesy.
Oh yeah.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify.
Well, with
that. Clarifying. Yeah.
I mean, there's an inherent amount of a small inherent amount of cheesiness just associated with this concept. But it's
right,
like,
but I wouldn't say it had anything to do with the effects.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Pam used the word chaos during filming. Do you thrive in chaos or would you rather work in a more structured, organized atmosphere?
I would rather work in a structured, organized atmosphere, but it is hard to do that in any kind of production. Yeah. All you're concerned about, all the consumer of this content is concerned about is what you see in frame.
Yeah.
So most of these projects, there's stands and lights and wires and cases and every other thing like strewn out all over the place. And all that matters is what you see in frame. So that makes it challenging, especially on bigger setups like this. Like, Pam's talking about this, you know, we had called a 12 by, but it's a 12 foot by 12 foot metal frame that has a sheet of diffusion in it. This thing's massive. And we needed something big because we had 5-6 people in frame and we needed to be able to light all of them. You know, stuff like that doesn't get set up or torn down quickly. So there's a lot of this just like chaos and mess surrounding the frame. And when you have to move from location to location to location, this is why you need hands on deck and some semblance of order in order to make this stuff work. But there is an inherent chaos that goes along with production for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like deadline week for us. Right. As much as we try to prepare, there's always some sort of chaos that is going to happen while we're putting it all together.
Do you enjoy the shoot more than editing or vice versa?
Yeah. There are some people in this world that wake up and look out the window and they're like, oh my God, what a beautiful day. As they lower the shade and sit down at their computer to edit all day. That's what fills their cup. That's what they like doing. And I would love to meet one or two of those people because I am not one of those people. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather be golfing, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But absolutely would rather be doing production or even just like in like client interaction type stuff too. I like, you know, relationship management. Yeah. A lot of my clients I get lunch with, I just, you know, kind of hang out. We're friends, but we talk about, you know, talk about work stuff as well. I like doing that portion of things. I like the production piece of it, of course. The post-production elements of it are fun, but it's not my favorite, which I'm sure you have your own feelings about post-production.
I do. I certainly do. Does AI play a role in your industry now?
There's a number of ways that I use it. A lot of what I use it for, organizing ideas or thoughts. I don't like to use it to generate concepts, but you can use it for a little bit of inspiration. I will often use it for if I have a client meeting. So I sit down with you and we want to talk about doing a video project. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll take a voice recording and grab a transcript from that and run it through ChatGPT. And I'll use that to kind of summarize the conversation and create a list of actionable items. So I like to use it for efficiency. I use it for some efficiency in billing. And I'll use it for some answers to, you know, if I'm trying to – practical effects are actually a great example. Like, you know, hey, I can't get my hands on dry ice. I'm trying to achieve this effect. What other things can I do? So you can use it to solve some issues that way. In terms of the actual post-production, I've thought about doing some partial, you know, AI sets where, you know, maybe you have like a green screen out a window or whatever and use AI to generate a scene to play outside a frame. You can have it do more than that, but at least at this point, AI video, although it's like pretty remarkable what you can do with it, it still has that look. Mm. So I don't think that it has a role as a primary part of your frame just yet.
Yeah. Great stuff, Dave. And congratulations on another successful project.
Thank you.
It looked like a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Maybe you'll be part of the next one.
Hey.
Ooh.
Maybe I'll sit around a campfire.
Fake campfire.
Why, did Pam already say she's not doing it again?
It was that much fun.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
Dave, we like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions, which I'm sure you're familiar with as a loyal listener.
Absolutely.
All right. You are presented with a challenge. Someone dares you to count backward from 300 to zero. If you succeed, you will be given $100,000 in cash. If you misspeak, get any digit incorrect, or make any mistake whatsoever, you will immediately be pushed off a cliff.
I think I could do it. Like,
it's
doesn't
a matter of life and death.
Yeah, but
you put your life on the line for $100,000.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's no constraints like stated in that. So like, I could write down 300.
You could,
and then I could pause. It doesn't say how long it could take. Then yep. I could write it down and read them one at a time.
But even as careful as you are, if you make one mistake, you're done.
Yeah, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah, probably, yeah. You've talked me out of
it. But what's life without a little risk, right?
That's right.
You want me to go?
Yeah, you can go.
Okay.
I'll ask my weird question.
I like this question. I think it'll be funny for right. Dave. I do know he was an only child. What is the naughtiest thing you got away with or didn't get away with as a child? Were you a problem child or were you pretty straight edge?
Somewhere in between. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know if this really counts as getting away with or not, but I set fire to the woods around my parents' house.
Oh, no.
And I didn't really get any kind of, like, crazy punishment from it. My parents let us play with fireworks. when we were like young teenagers. And so naturally, what we did was put them in a PVC tube and fire it like a bazooka at stuff.
As one does.
As one does.
What else would you do?
Yeah, so we missed our target and it like went off into the woods. And went out there to look around, just like double check. And it was like smoky and stuff because the firework had just gone off. But we didn't see anything like smoldering. Like an hour later, we're inside, and my dad comes running downstairs, like, the woods is on fire, the woods is on fire. So we're out there with buckets of water and hoses and whatever. It was just like...
Did you tell him what had happened?
Oh, he knew. But I didn't have any kind of consequence or anything, and that's why I'm the way I am now.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
All right, would you rather be 12 inches tall or 12 feet tall?
I feel like 12 feet would be, like, the clear winner, right?
I mean, it'd be hard to travel.
Why?
Yeah.
You'd have really long legs. You could, like, get there a lot faster.
Yeah, if you go into the corner store.
On a plane?
Get on a plane at 12 feet tall. You'd have to buy 4 seats
for your legs. You'd always have to volunteer to help out in the exit row.
But what about, okay, so 12 inches tall then, like, what, think about that. Suddenly all these things that are not a natural predator.
You're very travelable.
I know, you could go in someone's carry-on.
Yeah, you could be
a fun size.
You could be abducted really easily.
Where'd Dave go? We lost him.
He's in someone's bag.
What's that dog out there, the little one?
Vinny.
Like, Vinny would become a natural predator.
Yeah.
That's not what you want.
Vinny would mess you up.
Yeah.
You'd become his chew toy. Yeah.
So you're going with 12 feet?
12 feet then.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Dave, I have another hypothetical for you.
Okay.
Every person you have ever slept with is invited to a banquet where you are the guest of honor. No one will be in attendance except you, the collection of your former lovers, and the catering service. After the meal, you are asked to give a 15-minute speech.
To all three of them.
What do you say?
Sorry.
And two of them are inflatable.
One of them is the caterer. Sorry.
Welcome to the podcast, Dave.
I would say that I've prepared a few words, but I'm sorry that it's not any longer.
Wow.
It's a good speech.
Yep.
Good speech. Out of your B&I group, who would you like to go to Oxford Casino with?
Mike Curran.
Dave, you and Mike go to Oxford Casino. You end up blowing all of your money. Mike gives you $50 and says, go have a little more fun. I'm going to be here for a bit more. You go to the other end of the casino. With Mike's $50, you end up winning $100,000. Do you share any of it with Mike?
Yes.
How much?
Not 50%. Like 25%.
All right.
Plus $50.
Plus the $50.
Yeah. I have a heart. But I'm also part Jewish.
You're going to have to edit that one, too.
I'm going
to
keep that. No, we're keeping that. Can I keep that?
Sure, whatever.
That's hilarious. Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and Deploy Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam. She's right over there.
Right here.
Via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say I have bitten my cat.